Welcome to Mom and Mine. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all, from personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome back to Mom and Mind, everyone. So glad you can join us on another episode of the podcast. Today, we are talking with Casey Hodos, and she's going to be talking about prevention. And prevention specifically in terms of how to think ahead about your perinatal mental health journey. As you know, a lot of times we as people are learning about the problems we have as we are having them and are trying to figure out how to cope along the way. But there can be something to be said for thinking ahead in a different way about what could happen or putting systems in place to help prevent having a really difficult time. Now, when we talk about prevention, of course, we're not saying that following these couple of steps that ensures that nothing bad will ever happen. But prevention is a way to think about how to soften any kind of transition through pregnancy into parenthood and certainly those early years. So a little bit about our guest, Casey. She was naturally curious about resiliency and has spent the better part of her 20-year career in mental health focused on loss and life transitions. After having her son in 2012, her own coping skills were put to the test as she struggled through a very dark experience of postpartum depression and anxiety. Thankfully, she was able to climb out of her pit of despair with the help of her own therapist and supportive husband. And once she was healthy again, she found a new passion in supporting women through their adjustment into motherhood. So join us in on this exploration of prevention in the perinatal mental health period. Let's meet Casey. Welcome, Casey. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Kat. It's an honor to be here talking with you.
Well, I'm really glad you wanted to come on and talk about prevention today. It's super important. And so I'm glad that we'll be able to touch on these really crucial topics. So as a lot of folks do, start with your... As a lot of folks do, they come on and start with their own personal story. So if you'd like to do that, I welcome you to start wherever you'd like.
Yeah. So my son is 10 now. So I'm way beyond the fourth trimester. but when I had my son back in 2012, I felt like I was prepared. I had read all the books. I was going to my doctor's appointments. I had chosen a pediatrician. I had had the baby shower and researched all the gear. And I was like, all right, then I'm determined to be the best mom ever. And I have everything I need. And it did not go. It wasn't so easy. Like I struggled right away with breastfeeding and feeling like just a deer in the headlights. Like, what in the world have I done to my life? I was nervous all the time. The sleep deprivation was really hard. And I felt like I didn't have the tools that I needed. And I felt like I didn't, like no one was telling the truth about motherhood. And so I went to a very dark place and I have a great spouse. I had family support. I had a lot of the things that I did need. However, it just, it really hit me like how hard this job is. And that suddenly I was caring for a tiny human who couldn't tell me what was wrong, who could only scream and cry and who needed me all the time. And that pressure of just being on the clock forever was really just eye-opening and terrifying. So, you know, and I think 10 years ago in my local area, anyway, here in North Carolina, there just wasn't a lot of support for new parents. And my pediatrician was the first person that asked me how I was doing. And now I think that's very common now. Like they do a questionnaire for moms and they screen for postpartum anxiety and depression. Now I hope everywhere they do that, but I know they do that. And he was the first person I felt like who saw me, mm-hmm. you know, and he could tell that I was struggling, but he didn't offer anything, any types of resources. He didn't really, there was a lactation mm-hmm. consultant in the office that helped me with the breastfeeding part, mm-hmm. but like my mental health was still not where it needed to be. And so by the time I got out of that dark place with the help of my own therapist and friends and my spouse and family support and things like that, I started just researching it a little bit more. And so fast forward to like when my son was about four was when I was like, I finally felt like I had crawled out of this pit and I wanted to help mothers through this. And I was just on a mission to like tell mm-hmm. the truth about how hard it is. And I discovered Postpartum Support International and started doing their trainings and got on the track to getting certified in perinatal mental health and just never looked back. Mm-hmm. And now I love supporting new moms in my practice. And my latest passion has been really about prevention and how can we prepare new parents for the mental health piece of things. We have so many ways that we prep new parents. Three, choosing pediatrician, choosing mm-hmm. childcare, breastfeeding mm-hmm. classes, childbirth classes. Mm-hmm. But there's just not a lot of tools out there. And there's not a lot of honesty, I think, with people who are expecting a baby. Like when we want in our culture, we like for things to be easy and joyful and comfortable. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily like to talk about the painful parts of being a human. And,
right.
Yeah. And I,
let alone being a parent or a mother.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're a human with needs and now you have a baby with needs. And mm-hmm. so, yeah. So that's like where I am now. And that's kind of the coaching piece that I do in my practice, but really just helping people set them up to be successful with the tools and the knowledge, just some psychoeducation about mm-hmm. like the risk of PMADs and the things that can happen, the emotions that you may feel without scaring them too much, but saying like opening the door and saying, this is what parenthood looks like. And what do you need in order to set yourself up with the support and the expectations and the boundaries that you need?
Yeah, I'm happy to get into this and dig a little more deeply. And if we can kind of start with what I find to be one of the more frustrating things is about any type of prevention of anything is how do you get people to understand that this is something they should pay attention to? And obviously, we are not going to be able to have preventative medicine or preventative mental health support for every single thing we could ever encounter. But this is one of those times where you're going, like, if you are preparing to bring a child into your home, barring certain circumstances, this is one of those things that most likely going to happen. Let's just put it that way. Unless there's like a very, very clear risk of some other health condition within your family. So how do you suggest or think now or propose that we talk to people about learning about mental health during pregnancy or postpartum, given like what you've already said, that people don't want to really know that this is going to potentially be hard?
That's a great question. And I don't really have all the answers to that. But I do think it starts with just the like being honest with mm-hmm. each other, you know, mm-hmm. with friends mm-hmm. and family and yep. opening up the conversation about it. Mm-hmm. Social media has really, I think, I know there are problems with social media, but in a lot of ways, it started a dialogue with people about mental health. And I think during the pandemic, we really saw that shift from the only thing we post about is like happy, mm-hmm. you know, shiny vacations and things like that to the having honest conversations about how difficult life can be mm-hmm. and the challenges of just a lot of different types of a lot of different types of mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're headed in the right direction there.
Yeah.
I also think that there's OBGYNs and midwives and pediatricians. I think we need to make sure that we see these mothers who are coming in to the office the whole way through from pregnancy and beyond.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women suffer from severe anxiety during pregnancy, as you know, and we don't really talk about that very much.
Right.
We want to just think that pregnancy is, we have this glow about you and that's really it. And you go to your doctor's appointments, take your prenatal vitamins and you're all set. And I think that adds to like this suffering from these things without saying anything to people. So I think there are so many moving parts here, but I really think honesty, you know, when you can be honest about how you're feeling, speaking up when you're feeling down, and also watching out for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well said. I really like that approach, being honest, right? If we're changing the conversation within ourselves, and we don't necessarily have to be fully reliant on systems of healthcare to catch everything. Although that would be great too. Yeah.
This podcast is supported by Posh Peanut. My kids are still growing like weeds, and I will often enough have to get new sizes of clothes for them. And I know this is a thing that parents deal with, and if that's you, then check out Posh Peanut. Made from viscose from bamboo, the clothes stretch with your kid as they grow, and it's 4 times stretchier than cotton. These clothes are made to last, loved by parents, and approved by kids, most importantly. It's also super breathable and chemical-free, and I love that. And it also means that it's delicate on sensitive skin. I got the most comfy pajamas for my kids, and they love the soft, stretchy feel of the material, and they have really great designs as well. Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but there are also great options for adults. I'm getting myself some of the Posh Peanut loungewear because the texture of the fabric is soothing to me. And thankfully, the clothes don't lose their soft feel after washing. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with the promo code MIND. Go to poshpeanut.com/mind and use promo code MIND for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/mind, promo code MIND. This podcast is supported by Factor. If you want stress-free and ready-to-eat meals for you and your family, then Factor it is. These meals are fresh and crafted by chefs, and all of that means that in 2 minutes, you can be eating a quality meal that you can really taste because it's never been frozen. You just heat and serve. Yesterday for lunch, I had the honey mustard chicken with green beans and potatoes, and it was so full of flavor, and it was also just the right amount of food to keep me going for the day and feeling good with the amount of protein that I needed. And what's cool is I'm going out of town for a little bit, and it was really easy to put the delivery on pause and set it up for when I return. Head to factormeals.com/momandmind50 and use code momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code momandmind50 at factormeals.com/momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So when you are thinking about prevention, what are the kinds of things that you want to help people learn about or do to help prevent or lessen the chance or risk of perinatal mental health conditions?
So I see preparation and prevention kind of happening in like 3 different categories. So pregnancy, problem solving, and parenting. Mm-hmm. And so during pregnancy, I actually loved the episode that you did with Carla Nomberg.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Yeah. She said so. She just had so many great little nuggets in there for new parents. But she talked about practicing good habits when it's easy or something like that. Mm-hmm. I know that not all pregnancies are easy, but it is the time when you are well rested, or hopefully you're getting more rest and you're taking care of yourself, and you are a priority hopefully for the people in your life, and you're taking you're going to see your doctor, and so you're really involved in like your health and being healthy and doing things. Lost my train of thought again. Sorry.
Nope, you're good.
So during pregnancy, women tend to be focused on their health. Mm-hmm. And going regularly to your doctor visits and keeping an eye on blood pressure and all the things. Mm-hmm. So I think during pregnancy, we also need to be checking in on our mental health and preparing for while we have the energy before baby comes. That is a great time to have conversations with your support system to identify all the things that are going to need to be done. Mm-hmm. With your partner, taking a look at who do we have who in our life who care, who are the people who care about us, and whether it's in-laws, it might be friends. Not everybody has support right there locally with them.
Right.
Which that's one of the problems, I think. But I think matching support people with jobs that need to be done, you know, and it's from everything from like household tasks to walking the dog, to running errands. Who are these people that we already have in our life who can help us out with some of this stuff? Because all the daily things are still going to need to be done. Mm-hmm. And I think that during pregnancy, you can really start to practice having some of these conversations with people. And really think about like, who do you want around when baby arrives? Do you want to have visitors right away? Do you want to have people visit in the hospital? Maybe you don't. And that's okay.
Right.
And it's okay to ask for what you need. And these are kind of confrontational types of conversations that no one wants to have, but we have to have them. And if we can start practicing getting more comfortable speaking up for what we need, and setting those expectations, then by the time baby gets here, hopefully, not that it will be easy, but we already have that plan in place for what we want and how we want the homecoming to be and our first few weeks as new parents settling in.
Right. Yeah.
So then I'll move on to the problem solving part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I see problem solving as like, okay, so we have this plan for what we hope will happen. Now, things rarely go 100% according to plan.
Right.
So I think that having some really healthy coping skills can be helpful whether or not things go according to plan.
Right.
Like there's always going to be stress, and going into parenthood, like you need some, you're going to have to know how to cope with difficult things and how to be flexible and how to be mindful and how to communicate with the people in your life when things are not going well. So practicing with your spouse, just digging into these topics.
Oh, right. So not necessarily doing these three categories alone on your own, but involving other people along the way.
Yes, because I've seen too many times these conversations aren't happening and then things are stressful and the mother feels like everything is on her plate and she's trying to maybe go back to work or figure out how to work from home with the baby or whatever, you know, and that is the time when you're stressed out and you're tired.
Yeah.
And that's not good timing for a tough conversation.
No.
With your partner or
that's
with
a hard
you know,
time.
That's and so I think way ahead of time we should talk about, okay, what happens when the baby is sick and who's going to be the one to go and pick up the baby from daycare or who's going to stay home with a sick baby, who's going to go to the appointments, who's going to do all the things. And you have a part, if you have a partner, you're a team, and I see that as a really important way to look at parenting, that seeing you and your partner as a team. You have the same goals, the same values, and you want to be partners in this. It should not fall on one parent or the other to do all the things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like that is shifting more and more, that partners are becoming more engaged and sharing the load. But man, there are just still a lot of times where that is just not happening. So I think, yeah, to your point, having the conversation, even if you have a partner who is not engaged and doesn't really plan to be engaged, then that's information too. Right. So you might have to figure out how else to get help, unfortunately. Yes. But yeah.
Right. So true. And better to know that ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Than to wait around when, you know, you're sick or baby's sick or, you know, mm-hmm. and something is happening that's really stressful and you need some help.
Right. Cause it's not a solo sport.
Right. Right. And I think as part of the problem solving bucket, I think we can go ahead and start practicing just some good habits for your mental health, like mm-hmm. being mindful, being in the present, getting enough sleep, mm-hmm. Getting some exercise, all of those things you can go ahead and kind of like, because if you are healthy mentally and physically, when the problems arise, you'll be in a better place to deal with it. Another part, I think going along with just getting your mental health in order, also looking for what resources are in your local area for parents. Mm-hmm. Are there local in-person support groups or virtual support groups? Looking for mom groups that there are so many different resources and so many more things now than when I had my son.
Yeah.
Stroller strides and just so many different community types of resources. I'm trying not to say resources so many times.
Got it. If you want to restate any part of it, you're welcome to.
Okay. But prioritizing your mental health can happen anytime. But it's certainly, I think it's just more effective when you can start taking care of your mental health before the baby gets here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can. So for people who are just, I guess, coming around to the idea that there could even be a mental health something or other during pregnancy or postpartum, let me kind of off air ask you a couple of questions. So to speak, would you feel comfortable going into some additional kind of like, I guess, detail for people who are not used to taking care of their mental health or even being aware of it, what they could do? Like, I don't know, it's like see a therapist or that sort of stuff. There might be people who are learning about prevention and don't know mm-hmm. that they have any kind of mental health stuff even to deal with. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does my question make sense?
Yeah. Could I say something like, you don't need to have a diagnosable disorder to take care of your mental health?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Stuff like that. Okay. I'm just going to bring us back in then. So for just a moment, for people who might just be considering that they have, either they're not fully aware of what's going on for them mental health-wise, or they're not really dealing with anything mental health-wise, what would you say to those folks additionally, or even resources that you would suggest?
I would say that every human faces challenges and things are not easy. Mm-hmm. And so even if you have never seen a therapist or even thought about mental health, mm-hmm. You don't need to have a diagnosable condition in order to seek out support and to take care of yourself mentally. Mm-hmm. And so there are so many resources online. Postpartum Support International has so many, like just tons of information online about mm-hmm. About the perinatal time period and kind of what to expect and groups there. You could, even during pregnancy, you could get involved in a group mm-hmm. During that time just to not feel so alone. Mm-hmm. And so like, even if you think of yourself as who doesn't have a family history of mental health disorders or any predisposing factors, mm-hmm. You still need help and you need support for this time period because you're facing a job that you've never done before mm-hmm. and with no guidance and no manual. So, mm-hmm. I just encourage people to pay attention to their mental health just as they would their physical health.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
So the third bucket I call parenting. And so that's the part where you figure out, like, how are you and your partner going to parent? And so this might mean talking about, like, what does maternity leave and paternity leave look like? And how long do you expect to want to stay home with your baby? Can mm-hmm. you do that? Is that mm-hmm. feasible? Would you like for your partner to take time off at the same time or do it later and kind of tag team the staying at home with baby? Mm-hmm. So many ways to do this. And it doesn't have to look like anybody else's postpartum. Your right. postpartum needs to meet your needs. And you can figure that out by talking with your partner and seeing what's available. Mm-hmm. I also think about the division of labor and a conversation about who the default parent mm-hmm. might be. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't have to always fall on one person. It can be a true partnership, like we were saying earlier, but those expectations need to be decided. Mm-hmm. And it's an ongoing conversation. So these things are not one and done. This is right. practice, you know, this mm-hmm. is practice, the having the hard conversations,
yeah,
figuring out what you need. They're all, it's just practice. Like, you have to just keep checking in on each other, on yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I see, like, this whole preparation piece as, like, okay, how can we plan while also being flexible?
Mm-hmm. For sure. Right. Because you don't know until you're in it exactly what you need, but you can... Right. Help, like you're saying, help mitigate that by at least starting the conversation.
Right, right. And looking at your strengths. Like, I'm a huge, like, strengths-based therapist. And I think that we all have strengths, even when you don't feel like you do. Mm-hmm. There are things you're already doing that are working. So let's take a look at that and figure out how your strengths can serve you during this really stressful time period.
Right, sure. And there's oftentimes... where our partner might have a strength in something that's not necessarily our favorite thing, or vice versa. So you can even figure that out Absolutely. Along the way, because there's certainly things that my husband can do, like math,
right?
To bring it into school age children real quick, and not because I have any kind of feelings about it, but right. Like, it that's just as an example that there are just things, and it's okay. We don't have to all be able to do all of the things.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And early humans had their village and everybody had a role to play. And side note, have you ever heard of the grandmother hypothesis?
No, I don't think so.
So some scientists think that the reason why human mammals experience pause mm-hmm. and go on to live beyond their reproductive years is because in early humans, it helped them survive because there were grandmothers mm. available to help care for the babies.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I learned that recently, and I just thought that was incredible to think about mm-hmm. that we may live on past our reproducing years in order to serve our village.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's right. For tight-knit communities, that's still for sure happens.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of us are all spread out all over the place, and we don't have those built-in communities.
Absolutely. Like, and we tend to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Yeah, we tend to idealize independence and mm-hmm. Bucking up and just powering through and mm-hmm. doing things on your own and getting it done. And that is just, I mean, when it comes to parenting, it really, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And not only does it not make sense, I think it's just, it does a disservice to not only the primary caregiver, but also the partner. Like that smaller family unit really can struggle and suffer because of it.
Right, right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think another piece that's really important for couples is to identify, like, their values and mm-hmm. how they want to parent and what's important to them, and these kinds of conversations that we don't find ourselves really talking about. We just kind of live it.
Yep.
But when during a pregnancy, like you have to kind of consider, like, what do you want your life to look like? What is important in terms of like lessons that you want to hand down to your child? And so I think that's another piece. And I kind of think about that in terms of the strengths, you know, that if we can just take a minute and really look into like who we are, who we want to be, what do we want the future to be like, and really think about letting our values lead us when we're making these big decisions.
As a family.
Yeah.
Figuring out what that is. Ideally that would be great. And you're right. Some of that stuff just is not hashed out before kids come along. And even sometimes before kids are even a thing or a possibility, it was like after marriage or being together for a while, then you find out like, oh, this is not one of those things I can, like, I did not see this for my future, but here we are.
Right.
There can be a lot of stuff. I hear this like fairly often between like even people within a marriage who might have different political ideologies or have different ideologies or what they want to bring into their children's lives. And then you have these kids, and wow, that's an even tougher conversation to have if you haven't had it already.
Right. Definitely. And you get to decide this. And so many times we feel like, well, we were parented a certain way, and so that's the way to do things.
Right. You
know, but I think that is also a disservice to yourself when you don't have the confidence to like make your own decisions, or your values don't have to look like your parents' values, and they don't have to look like your neighbor's values.
Right.
You get to decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That can be hard too. Like it can be really liberating for one to decide that you can and want to do things differently than folks around you. But even honestly, if it's not too different, there's still conflict sometimes with just, let's say, grandparents who fed their kids a certain way, and they want to feed your kids that way, but that's not how you want your kids fed.
right, exactly.
Yeah. So like even more important than to have, if you can be on the same page as your partner so that you guys can have a united front when dealing with people who have differing opinions or have opinions on what they think you should be doing.
Right.
It's really hard to stand on your footing of what you want to do in your life when you got all these 5 million opinions from everybody else coming in.
Yeah. And when those first in that fourth trimester, when you are exhausted and just overwhelmed by everything, having a tough conversation with your mother-in-law is probably not going to happen. You know?
Yeah. Right. That's really tough. Super tough.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Anything else you think is important for people to understand about prevention and planning?
Yeah, along with everything else I've said about honesty, I feel like sometimes there is a tendency for providers to not be completely honest with women. Mm-hmm. In my experience during my pregnancy, no one informed me that, you know, that there is a risk of perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. As many as 1 in 7, probably more than that, experience this. And I don't think it's that scary to know that fact. Like, we know a lot of risk factors. We know the risks of breast cancer and heart disease, and we know all those things. So why aren't we talking about perinatal mental health in those terms? And so the risk is there, and it is very real, and we cannot prevent it 100%. But if we have we know the risk factors, we know that women who have the support and the tools, they lower their risk. And so why can't we have honest conversations about that during pregnancy, before pregnancy, and just open up that dialogue a little more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, that is a great circle around to your initial points about honesty and being real with each other, with each other. And sometimes they're with us having that information and taking it to our doctors, even though, like, wouldn't it be great if they were all trained in perinatal mental health as well? Sometimes they don't even know the risk, but sometimes that's how things get changed too, is from us having the information and being, it's on a broader, larger scale and getting the word out there. We don't have to wait for it to come down from somewhere in order to learn more about how to take care of ourselves in this time.
Yes. Well said.
Thank you for bringing in all of this perspective. It's really important to consider prevention and not just, oh no, something bad happened. Although that's important, prevention is super important. So thank you for bringing that in today.
Thank you, Dr. Kat.
You can find Casey at caseyhodos.com or on Instagram at casey_hodos or on Instagram at casey_hodos. You might have learned a couple of new things about how to prevent or ways to prevent having a difficult time during the perinatal mental health period, pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. And certainly, please share this episode with anyone who could benefit from hearing ways to prevent worsening of symptoms or prevent having symptoms during the perinatal period. I welcome you to subscribe to this podcast so that you can get each and every episode delivered directly to you when they are launched each Monday. Thank you so much for being with us. Until next time. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please share this podcast. Together we can support moms and families so that no one has to deal with this alone. Come connect with us at momandmind.com.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.